Welcome to episode 64 of The Bull Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bingham. This Cogito PR content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Bull Run about recent results, life on tour and life in general. Good morning, mate. How are you today?
Yeah, well, good, thanks. Yeah, nice little two-hour journey. Got here nice and early.
Where does he live? We'll come to this in a minute. Where did you have to go this morning?
Barrett Snooker Club in Northampton.
Right.
So I drove 2 hours and I actually got here before him. He just turned up.
Bloody, so that's good, tardy, isn't it? What is he, like 20 minutes down the road or something?
A good 40 minutes late, yeah.
Sounds about right. Okie doke. Well, listen, there's lots to get through today, so we'll crack on. As we tend to do, we'll take things in chronological order and we'll start with a look back at the Championship League winners group action in mid-March. When we spoke on the last episode, you were on course for a semi-final place and you got that by finishing third in a very stacked winners group. But it ended in a 3-0 defeat to Mark Selby, who would go on to win the event on his home patch. So were you pleased with your overall showing in Leicester?
Considering I ain't played sort of a competitive match for 4 or 5 weeks, something clicked in the practice week leading up to it. And obviously started off so-so. I think I was 2-0 up, I think, on Kyron. Ended up losing 3-2, and I think I was... I ended up losing to John Higgins 3-2. So after the first couple of matches, obviously I was back against the wall. But obviously got it together. Finished third in a sort of tough group. Obviously gutted. I lost to Mark, just didn't turn up. I think I lost the last match in the group stage to Joe Connor. And I lost 3-0 and sort of took that to the semis. So... Not a good end, but sort of a semi-final in the finals group is nothing to be sniffed at, really.
Look, you must have barely had time to repack before you were on a plane out to Asia. You played some exhibition matches before having a crack at the Joy Hable Masters pool event in China. I saw the social media images of all the razzmatazz and the very healthy crowds at that event. It looked brilliant. Maybe you should take me next time some live reporting duties. In terms of the action itself, I mean, you held down your own in what is obviously not your strong suit, Q Sport, not yet anyway. And it ended in a 13-11 defeat to Clint Lanson. Sorry, Clint, if I've murdered your name there. But you were 12-5 down at one stage, so it was a good knock. And I saw on Insta you also, as you put it, broke your jump shot virginity, as you put it into the middle pocket, tidy work. So what was the event like, and do you see yourself returning for another crack at that in the coming years?
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be back. Great tournament. I think Mark Williams sort of said that he obviously enjoyed himself. He said about obviously even changing sports, but I don't think he'll be doing that. It's a great. It's a bit of everything, really. Bit of 9-ball, bit of 8-ball pool, and a bit of snooker. So it's sort of rolled into one. Caught me out, maybe probably the tactical side. Didn't really understand what I needed to do, and lost maybe probably a few sort of frames where I should have won. But great learning experience. I was there literally four or five days beforehand, so doing obviously a lot of on the practice table, trying to get the break off. The break off's massive, obviously. We're not used to smashing the pack up.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously there's a sort of a controlled break, a smart break, where you try and pop the two sort of second balls in the triangle into the middles. If you hit sort of hit it right pace, that they can get in.
That's the sweet science, so, is it? How many times do the real veterans sort of manage to do that? Is it quite common for them to pull that off? Is it?
Obviously you're trying to make, especially if you that right, you should at least make one ball in the middle.
Yeah.
To try and explain it quickly, is it for us men that play, we have to, it's like a 4-point break.
Right.
So we've got to get four balls back behind the bulk line.
Right.
But if you pot one, that counts as a point. So then you only need three back behind.
Right.
So there is a skill break to it, and the ladies obviously only have to do the three point break.
Right.
So it does make it a lot easier, sort of only getting three back, especially if you do make one off the break. It makes it a lot easier. But yeah, loved it. Yeah, broke my virginity doing a jump shot.
Yeah. You practice that? That's clearly, I guess you do. You set aside some time for practicing those kind of jump shots. Do you? Is that right?
Not right. Loads. You just can't be afraid of obviously banging, like, sort of like for us snooker players, it feels like you're going to rip the cloth.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
You obviously a little bit of practice. I've had maybe probably like a dozen shots trying to do it before I'd done that shot. But it's a skill in itself, especially in the nine ball.
I want to see it in the crucible, mate. That's it. That'll be the iconic moment. You know it will, especially if you pot it. But
that'd be a foul in snooker. That's the only thing.
Right, of course. Yeah. Is that right? What, an intentional one? Because I've seen the hop. The moment it leaves, it's always a standard foul. Is it? I've been educated today. Is that, that's how that goes.
Yeah. Right. Obviously, you can hit a ball and then jump over a ball.
Right,
you can't do that.
That's probably what I've got in my mind's eye. I've got seen it going along the rail or whatever. But yeah, okay, you can't intentionally sort of go at it. But look, we've talked about playing in it, but like I said, the big screens, the crowds, the buzz. It looked brilliant. Was it good? That side of things.
Yeah, obviously, I ain't got a clue what how much they spent on just like hotels. Obviously, people travelling out there. I wouldn't like to put a figure on, but I reckon it's easy over 3 or 4 million.
Blimey, big deal then, yeah.
Big, massive. And like I say, we've never had a players' party or an opening ceremony like that in snooker. It was very sort of chilled. Mm. Obviously, we've normally got a table to sit around having a dinner, but they had a few stalls. Everyone was drinking. Obviously, had picky bits of food.
Yeah.
Everyone was dancing at the end of the night. But it was good. Obviously, you say you had so many different countries. I think there was like 74 different countries that was playing in that tournament.
Wow.
So, you had obviously some South Africans. You had, doing all the dancing.
Yeah.
They loved the dance. And, it's everyone getting up. And it was brilliant.
Back to the snooker. Of course, we have to finish with your preparation for the big one. It's the business end of every season. It's the World Championships, of course. We alluded to it at the top of the show. You're practicing with Kyron Wilson this morning. Have you started yet? How's that going?
No. He turned up late. So, got today and tomorrow. I'm playing with Kyron. Mm. The other day, on Tuesday, I went down to play Barry Hawkins at Jordan's snook club in Chatham. I think it's Chatham. Good sort of practice. Played Mark Davis at the weekend. So, I've tried to sort of up my practice a bit.
Yeah.
And sort of want to get beaten up sort of thing. Want to sort of like see where my game's at.
Yeah.
So I've always said you sort of go in and you win in 10-2, 10-3. Mm. You don't really see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously everything must be good, but when you get beat you can work on a few things. So that's the idea of obviously practicing with Kyron and obviously Barry to sort of sharpen the game up.
It's just
Sunday.
Yeah, just as an aside, I saw a piece the other day. What a horrible bunch of qualifiers. I saw somebody use the word horrible. It might have been Selby actually saying about the qualifiers. And oh my word, there are some names in there, isn't there? It's just like, it's brutal, isn't it, this year?
Yeah, like I say, obviously Neil, you got Jack Lazowski. Mm. You got loads. You got loads of players that are in the qualifiers. Mm. Whoever sort of gets through is going to be a sort of a tough game, obviously, for any of the top 16 that are there. So it's just getting tougher and tougher, obviously, to qualify and for the obviously first round matches to try and work out. But hopefully. obviously play Sunday if I get through that, play Tuesday, and then hopefully in the draw for the World Championships on the Thursday. I think the draw's getting done, so
Yeah, we'll just run through it to mark the card for anybody following. Yeah, your qualifying bid, as you say, starts this Sunday. You'll face the winner of Liam Highfield and Stuart Carrington. A match I think is taking place right now, actually. Should you progress, you have a potential match with Elliot Slesser in a best of 19 frames to book a spot of the Crucible. You've been here, you've done this before, but you know, how are you feeling ahead of your latest crack at sporting immortality?
Yeah, no, like I say, obviously got back from the Havel tournament, so yeah, put the pool cues down, get the new cue out, and yeah, been obviously putting the effort, putting the time in, so feels like it's all clicking into place. Yeah, so I say, I had some good practice so far, so hopefully, yeah, going there with a bit of form and hopefully end the season off at the Crucible Theatre where every player wants to.
Absolutely. Well, as always, it only remains for me to say thank you very much for your time today, Stuart, and to wish you very best of luck for the Crucible.
Thanks a lot, James. Cheers.